The Outpost Radio on Demand. Here's Art Young from the Outpost Magazine.
Let's talk about guns today, and we've got an expert in the subject matter, and his name is Cliff Chappell from Heritage Auctions. Good afternoon, Cliff.
Hey, good afternoon, Art. It's fun to be here.
Great to have you. I was scanning through all my notes and getting ready for this, and I got a couple of things I want to share with you and get your impressions on it. You work with Heritage, and you know this better than anybody, but a U.S. Colt Model 1877 Bulldog Gatling gun was sold by the auction company in Dallas for $395,000 a couple of weeks ago, back in December 14th. There's another note, an 1877 Bulldog U.S. Colt single action Army revolver sparked a bidding war between six people, and I know Heritage likes that, and it sold for $62,500. And not only that, Cliff, and again, I'm telling you things you know, there is a new firearms of the Texas Frontier exhibit at the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, and it features a Colt Model 1855 revolving carbine, and it's on loan from the in our NRA museum. What is it about the Colt firearms, Cliff, that make them so popular?
Well, Colt, in many ways, mirrors the American success story as a nation and a people. Sam Colt, really got started manufacturing firearms in 1836, hit a home run with his five-shooter. His first revolver, the Patterson, was a five-shot, 31-caliber revolver that some of the early Texas Rangers achieved fabulous success with in the field, and it just the legend took off quickly from there and went right through most of the first firearms that me and you and the rest of the audience probably got their hands on.
Is there something about the craftsmanship of the firearms, or is it limited quantities, or what is it that makes them, particularly your latest? I mean, all this news about these firearms that have gone for the seemingly outrageous amounts. What is it about the Colt that makes it so popular?
Well, Sam Colt was a smart businessman and knew how to market his product really well very early. And it's important when we talk about Colt firearms to understand its history, because they became successful and well-known and well-promoted early on, and it stayed that way. He had success after success with several different models of single-action revolvers, first the percussion revolvers and then the cartridge guns, like the one you mentioned that we sold for $62,500 last month, the Colt single action revolvers, Colt single action Army revolvers, how it's generally referred to. The one we sold was pristine, very little wear, and for a gun that was made in the early 1880s, it's unheard of to see something that well preserved. Now, bear in mind that it was an excellent design and a popular tool throughout the frontier West. So when you combine good design and the beauty of the art form of something that was well designed and well made, and then the rare ones that stay in good condition after all that time, you end up with a rarity that commands a premium in the open market. So the Bulldog Gatling gun is the perfect example. That's an even more rare piece because there were only a few thousand of those ever made, and most of them, got pulled across trails and prairies and broke up a bit. A lot of that bronze and brass went to scrap in the World Wars, and by the time you get to the late 20th century, it's rare to ever see one, much less one that is 100% still together and can even operate. Mm-hmm. So the combination, again, of rarity and beauty and condition generates a pretty exciting marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, and offhand, or I don't know whether it's appropriate to say this. What collector, who put that up for sale? Was it an individual collector or some museum, or where did that Gatlin gun come from?
It came from an individual collector. Actually, the owner of it had passed away last year. It had been in southeastern Arizona since the 1970s. And the gentleman passed away, and his son, who was familiar with me and with Heritage, gave us a call and said, we'd like you to bring this to market. And we literally drove a truck from Dallas to that part of Arizona and brought it back to the building and did the photography and the promotion for it. I had seen enough images of it and had reports from the field to know what we were getting into. And once we got it in the building and had a firsthand look at it, we confirmed that we had a rare prize here. The fact that it was still on wooden carriage and wheels was pretty special. And what made this one unique, besides it being in such incredible condition and very few produced, is that it was a smaller one of those than you typically see. Huh. Most Gatling guns have 30-inch rifle barrels and 10 of them. This one has 18-inch barrels and are set in a cluster of five. So the overall gun is significantly smaller, and it was without much tongue-in-cheek that I wrote in the description that this can fit in the average family room. Because that's where it had been when we got it.
Oh, man.
The new owner is probably putting it in his family room because gun guys like this sort of stuff and are happy and proud to show it off.
Yeah. Yeah, gun. You're right. Boy, you're so right. You know, that's an easy segue into an area I wanted to get into. The gentleman that had the Gatling gun, or the I guess the son of the person who had originally had it, knew about you, knew about Heritage Auctions, and contacted you, and got exactly the right guy, exactly the right group to put this gun up for sale. What process should someone who maybe goes through an inheritance, or you know, gets a vintage gun of some kind, what do they need to go through to determine insurance value or possible sale?
Well, pretty much what this gentleman did, which is make a list, you know, make model, serial number, and caliber, and give us a call and send us some pictures. With that basic rudimentary information, we're generally 90% accurate with our understanding of what might be in the collection and what it's likely to fetch at auction, or more to the point, what auction estimate we would put on it. This Gatling gun had a kind of a wide range of $100,000 to $300,000 because we all felt like, you know, it could do that maybe. And of course, everyone being delightfully surprised that it set the record for a Gatling gun sale. And it all started with the inheritor, if you will, contacting us, because that's our stock and trade. We get calls every week from people who said, you know, mom or dad passed away. This had been in the house. What should we do with it? And whether it's the gentleman that owned the Gatling gun or the children of John Wayne, Heritage seems to be the go-to place because we are so well known and have successfully sold a wide range of material in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking with Cliff Chappell today, and he is the expert on firearms at Heritage Auctions. And you can certainly find them on the web. If you're a gun collector, you already know about them. But tell us what your role is at Heritage, Cliff.
Well, formally, my title is consignment director. So what that means is that people who have things that we agree should be sold at auction, let me steer them through the auction process. So what they send to us is consigned for sale at auction, and I help them bring the material to the right place at the right time and let them know what to expect in the process. And it's really not much more than letting me know what it is they have, understanding what we think the right auction strategy would be, and then letting us take it to market.
Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for this kind of profession, Cliff? Did you start off in the firearms business, or what? How did you get to where you are now?
Well, you know, it's a lot like the articles in your magazine. You know, every other one is about my first pocket knife or my first 22 or the first time I smelled gunpowder. You know, for me, it was in the 1950s. And at that time, a lot of us were growing up with firearms and appreciated them. And it's been a lifelong field of interest. I have been actively involved in the auction industry for a little over 10 years with a couple of different auction houses handling antique and collectible firearms. Prior to that, I was reenacting historic gunfights and with a degree in cultural anthropology, understood the importance of physical culture and what we like to refer to as the stuff, and had an interest in when was this made? How many of them were out there? What's it worth? What's accurate and what's not? Like a lot of people, I saw a lot of movies in the 60s that were supposed to have taken place just post-Civil War, and thought that the use of an 1894 lever-action Winchester was incorrect. So.
Right.
Just coming from a firearms background and an interest in history is how I got here.
Yeah. Are you going to get a chance to, I believe you live on the West Coast, are you going to get a chance to go to that exhibit at the Alamo? I think it runs through April 15th this year.
I think so. I've been to the Alamo about three times, and feel honored and moved by my visits every single time, and I've seen some of their displays. That revolving Colt carbine is an interesting piece. It was, of course, made about 10 years after the Battle of the Alamo, and that technology wasn't quite, there were no repeaters quite yet at that time.
Right.
But it's an early Colt piece that should be shown in an interesting location like the Alamo. The funny thing about that gun, and anybody who's fired black powder revolvers knows this, one of the inherent risks of firing a muzzle-loading black powder gun with a cylinder full of black powder is that if you're not really careful, you can have what's known as chain fire happen when you fire one cylinder, and sparks from that chamber can, on occasion, ignite all the others.
Huh.
And if you imagine holding up this carbine and having your left hand on the forearm of this gun when a chain fire occurs, you probably don't need to see that more than once to realize you might be better off with some other firearm. Which is why these things are so rare, because they were made for a little while, and then other firearms were made to replace them. They're an interesting, unique design, but the shooter needs to beware of careful loading procedures for them.
Well, it'll be interesting in terms of what continues with the prices of the vintage firearms. Just in general, are the prices of all kinds of vintage firearms, are they up or down? Are the prices up or down? Or are they pretty much relative to the item?
Prices are up for guns that are in excellent condition, whether they're old or new. The Colt revolvers that were produced as recently as 2002 and 1999 have doubled in value. The Cobras, the Anacondas, the Pythons, these are the big double-action revolvers that were some of the last revolvers produced by Colt have seen 80% increases in just the time that they've been produced. Our June auction is going to have dozens of these. We took in a collection recently from the Midwest. Again, the gentleman died and the family contacted us, and we will have a large number of these guns still brand new in the box, a rare opportunity to invest in an investment-grade gun for $1,000 instead of $10,000, but watch that grow because the demand remains high for these even to this day.
That's great. Well, we'll look forward to we'll catch up with you again sometime around right after your June sale and see how it went, Cliff.
Good. I will be happy to report the results, and if it's any can gauge it by previous successes, we should have good news to report at that time. It's and you can follow that sale at ha.com anytime. We will start placing those pieces on the website starting next month. We'll have photos and descriptions of them, and we'll be at the Las Vegas Gun Show at the end of this month with some examples.
HA.com is a good place to go if you're a gun enthusiast, and if you're listening, more than likely you are a gun enthusiast. That's a good place to go, HA.com. And Cliff Chappell, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure, and we'll look forward to seeing what happens in June.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you.
The Outpost Radio On Demand, from the on-demand page of theoutpostlife.com.